The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus departed from there and came to his native place accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the sixth week now we have been in the ordinary time, the time of Pentecost. And we, like Ezekiel, in the time of Pentecost, are given the Holy Spirit so that we can be set on our feet. Lent, we kneel. Time of the resurrection, Easter, a lot of hallelujahs. But Pentecost time, ordinary time, is a time when we walk in the Holy Spirit, or we don't. Jesus gives us his word so that we walk in the Holy Spirit. And the word he gives us this year is from St. Mark. And for 3 weeks now, Mark has been telling us about the preaching of the kingdom of God around the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And for 3 weeks now, some people have accepted Jesus' claims, and they've believed, and they've seen his healing power. And other people have said no. And it comes to a head now at the beginning of chapter 6 in Mark, where Jesus' hometown, they have no faith in him, and he can't work even one mighty deed there. He can't work a miracle there. Mark says that Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith, tamazo. And this Greek word is used only twice of Jesus. He's only amazed twice. He's amazed by the lack of faith of the people in his hometown. And he's also amazed by the faith of the Roman centurion, who is a pagan and who does believe him. And because he believes, Jesus can work a great miracle in his household. And the saints tell us this is something we have to watch for, because those of us who are familiar with Jesus can become so familiar with him and with his church. Oh, I've heard that. I know that. Heard that 1,000 times. Same old, same old. And if we take that attitude, we'll be like Jesus' townspeople, where he can't work great miracles among us. Jesus wants us to amaze him, and we're going to do it one of two ways, either by our lack of faith or by having great faith, like the centurion did. Now, how we respond to two things really determines whether we're going to have faith or not. The first is, how do we respond to what Ezekiel found? That is, the temptation to be hard-faced and obstinate of heart. We are all tempted to be hard-faced and obstinate of heart with the Lord. Ezekiel is preaching to the ancient Israelites, and it'd be very nice to talk about those rotten Israelites. It's true in every generation. There's a temptation for us, and I want to talk about three particular temptations. One, the temptation that says, "I will not forgive." Secondly, "I will not serve." The third one, "I will not worship." First one, "I will not forgive." Jesus makes it very clear. One of the reasons why his Holy Spirit power does not flow in our lives is that we will not forgive those who have betrayed us. For some of us, the way we begin by forgiving others is saying, "Lord, I don't know how to begin with this. I need your help." And that's how it begins. For others of us, we know what we have to do. Every day we have to let go of things. But in order for the Holy Spirit to flow in our lives, in order for us to be the new creation Jesus wants us to, we've got to be forgiving. Jesus also says we have to serve one another. Now, it's easy to serve people who are grateful and we think are deserving. It's not so easy to serve people who are ungrateful and don't seem deserving. But What makes us different than volunteers in the world doing community service is this fact: we serve people in Christ. We serve God through other people. I remember at Augusta and Monica, my parish where I'm pastor, there was a woman who joined the parish and she wanted to help out, and so she agreed to help out at the providing coffee and donuts after Mass. We always have it after Mass. And she did this for a while. People were so grateful because the volunteers had to buy the coffee and donuts and set them up and all that. And they got lives too, but it takes time to do it. And then I remember one person who I knew came up to her and said, "Is that all you got? Is this on sale?" You know, insulting her food. She was ready to quit that moment. I know what she felt like. You know what she felt like. You go out of your way, you serve, you help, and someone treats you that way, you know, I don't need that. And then we go home, we pout a little bit, and we come back. Because we serve in Christ. And the more we do it for God, and not whether we get a little bit of gratitude, the more that we become great souled, which is the goal anyway. It's not so that Jesus gets more volunteer hours out of us. It's so that he makes us great soul people who can get beyond the fact that we're not always treated great. So watch the temptation to not serve. And the third one is, I will not worship. Jesus teaches us that two things, that we have to love one another, and we also have to love God with our whole heart and soul. And he teaches us about this worship at the Last Supper. He says, do this in memory of me. Now, we know right from the beginning in the letter of Hebrews chapter 10, Paul says, we should not absent ourselves from the assembly, ecclesia, which means church, as some do. Rather, we should build one another up. We should encourage one another. You know, sometimes we can get the attitude, well, the most important thing, the bottom line, is that we're good to other people. That's one of the bottom lines. If we show up to heaven and say, Jesus, I'm so glad you said what's the only thing that's important is how you treat other people, he's going to say, say what? That isn't his teaching. His teaching is how we treat one another is essential to our future life, but so is whether we love God. And loving somebody means that we do what they want us to do. And part of that is showing up. It's showing up for worship and then praising God, thanking him, giving him our needs. St. Paul tells us another thing that we have to watch, which determines whether we're going to respond in good faith. And that is what we do with the thorns in our side, the thlipsis in Greek that St. Paul talks about, because we all have them. St. Paul said three times he asked the Lord to take away this thorn in his side. Now, some people think he had epilepsy. Others think he had some personal difficulty. Three times he asked the Lord to take it away, and the Lord didn't. The Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient to you. And St. Paul found in his life that in his weakness, the power of God came there. There are things we ask the Lord to heal in our lives, and they don't get healed. But he always says to us, his grace is sufficient. And if we walk with faith, we'll find that it is sufficient. Over and over again, Jesus, as he meets us throughout life, looks to see whether we're going to respond with faith. And when we do, when we say, I'm going to start again today, then the Lord will be amazed at that faith, and he'll give us the Holy Spirit so we can give to the world the love of God that it